Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
He does the research, analyzes the data, and checks the variables. He even submits his findings for peer review. He's the only man with a lab coat made entirely from NFL bed sheets. He's data scientist Eric Eager of Sumer Sports. Science! Only on the program.
All right, welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As you heard, the VP of R&D for Sumer Sports, sumersports.com, Eric Eager, the good doctor, joins us here in the program. He is brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health Center, you know, the Sports Medicine Performance Center. What a great place and what a great gift you can give. How about 25% off here for the holidays? That's right, save 25% off all their great sports performance classes. If you've got a young athlete that's looking to get the best out of their abilities at whatever sport it might be. They've got personal and sports specific classes for every sport out there, plus personal training packages for every age, all the way up to old farts like me, even older farts than me. Yeah, it's true. There actually are. Qualys's 3D running gait analysis. That means like, hey, what's wrong with your stride? Can we fix it? Can we make it, more efficient? Can they make it maybe take away some pain? They can do that. Metabolic performance assessments, Titleist Performance Institute, golf fitness evaluations, golf performance training. Get your golf game better. Give that gift 25% off right now. Give that gift to yourself if you want. Hey, I don't care who you get it for. They're right there at 125th and Antioch. Spectacular. Absolute great facility with everything you could ever need to get in better shape or to get better at whatever sport you want to. Learn more right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsperformance. That's kansashealthsystem.com/sportsperformance, or just drop in and see him at 125th and Antioch. It is a great, great facility. We welcome in a great, great friend of the program, Eric Eager. Eric, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Seren. It was fun to do the podcast last night. After a week like last week, where it's hard to kind of, as a fan, kind of get up for the game, it's awesome that they get to play a Bengals team right now that's as good as they've been in a long time. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. It's a big game. I heard this morning our morning show, the Border Patrol, Navy Katie said, what a great weekend of sports. I can't wait for it all to get here. We've got K-State playing in the Big 12 championship game, so that's a big one. We got our college basketball teams are all playing well here locally. Then we've got the Kansas City Chiefs playing the Bengals, and of course we got the U.S. national team playing in a knockout stage on Saturday morning. Are you excited, by the way? Do you have World Cup fever, Eric?
I placed a bet on the USA. It's about as patriotic as I'll get on a Tuesday. I have, by the way, I have a Kansas State to win the Big 12 futures ticket. That is, I'm riding out this weekend. I had them over their win total. I'm a big fan of Deuce and that team. So I'm excited to watch them play. I know TCU's a house, but it's kind of interesting that they're less than a field goal, much like the Chiefs Bengals game, that the spread is less than a field goal in that game. So I'm excited to watch that game.
Yeah. And by writing it out, it's when you know that you can take half, go the other way and guarantee half your winnings. Now that you're here at one game, instead, you're not going to do that. You're going to go for it all and ride it all the way to the end. Very nice. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting part is, what do you think the committee is, if we don't talk college football much on here, but like, what do you think? So I believe that the committee really wants, well, like all the models. So if you look at ESPN, this is like USC has like a 50% chance to make it. When I'm like, wait a sec, if they win, they're in, right? So I think the models want to see Utah win, right? I think that with respect to TCU, I think the committee probably wants Kansas State to win just because they want to be able to put in Alabama or Ohio State, one of the bigger, programs or whatever. I'm really interested to see what they do. Obviously, I don't think Purdue's going to give Michigan much of a game. So I think Michigan's a lock. I think also Georgia is a lock as well. LSU is LSU just got upset the other day by Texas A&M. So I think that, but those last two spots, I think, Kansas State could really play spoiler, because I don't think that they, I changed my mind on this. I don't think they put TCU in with even a close loss to Kansas State.
Yeah, all four teams right now in the that are into a playoff slot have to play a game. There's no like, you know, SEC divisional loser that's locked into one of the spots. All four have to play a playoff game, and TCU has the highest ranked team, the K-State Wildcats, at number 10. They've got the highest team to play. So, yeah, it should be a great game, and we're looking forward to it around here. I know Cat fans are fired up, and a lot of Cat fans will be on site because Emaw travels, that is for damn sure, when it comes to the K-State Wildcats. All right, let's talk about these Kansas City Chiefs, the game against the Rams. You mentioned our podcast, Red, Gold, and Bold, last night, and we did talk about it. It was a lot of fun and a lot of things to hit upon. The Rams game was kind of a necessary evil. I want to start right there because I think that the reason you can start to be really confident that this is a team that's not necessarily going to win the Super Bowl but has everything it needs is the fact that there really wasn't a lot going on from the perspective of this game or a lot of passion or fire or energy, yet the Chiefs not only won, but won and covered. Businesslike is how I would describe it, even with all kinds of not perfect. We know special teams was, again, a train wreck, but businesslike in getting it done.
Yeah, and you know, it's been a while since Chiefs fans have gotten to see a game like that. I think about like Arizona in 2018, where they were starting Josh Rosen and the spread was like, what was the spread in that game? It was like 20, right? And the Chiefs didn't cover that game. Arizona played okay. You know, they had the Jets game in 2020, where I think the spread was 21.5. The Chiefs did cover that game. But since that Jets game, right, it was sort of like the Chiefs didn't cover a spread from like the middle of 2020. They covered in the AFC title game. And then again, like into 21, it was like maybe the Eagles game was the first time they covered the spread. Like they have had their schedule has not had that many breaks for the last 2-3 years. And so it was kind of odd to see not only a break at home, right? Most of the Chiefs blowouts over the past couple of years have been on the road, weirdly. But they got a team that, you know, in the Rams where they should have beat them. They didn't play particularly well. I don't think that they really you know, pulled out all the best options, or should they have, right? Kelce was playing against Jalen Ramsey like the whole game, and Ramsey for the most part had a good game. They had the touchdown there, and they were clearly trying things out to Valdez Scantling. They were clearly trying things out to Sky Moore. They gave Isaiah Pacheco like 20 carries. They tried out Ronald Jones. Like, it was a game for experimentation, and you know, not a lot of it went like right. But they still won, and they covered the opening number, which was 10.5. I don't think they covered the closing number, which I believe was 16.5. But that just shows you how sharp the bettors are, who bet on the games. It was a strange game, but you can take some positives out of it for sure, especially the defense. I think the defense tackled really well again, and I think that that's going to bode well for them this weekend because, you know, the last game that they played in the regular season against the Bengals, they were up 14-0, and that game got started for the Bengals because the Chiefs couldn't tackle Ja'Marr Chase in the open field.
Yeah, and how much better is this Chiefs team? Let's evaluate how much better the Chiefs have gotten and how much better the Bengals have gotten, or how much worse the Chiefs or Bengals have gotten this year from last. What does it look like to you as far as, you know, how much better or worse these two teams are, starting with the Chiefs? Do you agree that this is a better Chiefs team than it was last year?
I do. I think the markets, at least in the gap between the two teams, and it might be due to injuries and stuff because we don't know if we get Thornhill or, you know, some Tooney and guys like that back this week. But right now the Chiefs open 3-point favorites, which last year they closed 4-point favorites. They opened 5-point favorites when they went to Cincinnati last year, closed 4-point favorites. Right now the markets are really, I mean, there's really sharp money on the Bengals. Like, this number is down to 1.5. So there are people who, like, I think the perception is that the Bengals have closed the gap with the Chiefs fundamentally since the last two times they played. I think both teams have gotten better. I do think that from, you know, by virtue of the fact that the Chiefs have won the AFC West, I think like the Chiefs only have so far to go up, whereas the Bengals only have so far in some ways, they have further to go up. Right. So I think that the in the view of the market, both teams have improved, but I think the Bengals have improved more than the Chiefs have.
Okay. And you know, in what way? Like where is it just the overall confidence level of the team? Is it the receivers have gotten to, you know, even better? We know, as you mentioned, knocking off the rust from Jamar Chase, but and they should get Joe Mixon back. Samaje Perine's done a nice job catching the ball out of the backfield. They continue to work on the offensive line. Early returns were not good. Is that where it's come together a little bit better? I mean, the grades on the offensive line don't say spectacular. They're kind of like the Chiefs, their strength is in the inner part of their offensive line as opposed to the tackles. Is the offense definitively better in your mind?
I think, yeah. The thing is, so the Chiefs had one big question to answer this year, right? It was, how are they going to get on without Tyreek Hill? And, you know, Patrick Mahomes is leading the league in passing yards. He's on pace to set a record for passing yards in a season. I think that, and I think sharp people probably thought that there was a pretty good chance that Mahomes would emerge even without Hill. So that was the one question that the Chiefs had to have answered. And I think that they've answered in the affirmative. The Bengals had a few, right? Like their defense, you know, they were fairly healthy defensively last year. How would they deal with injuries? They had the injury to Chidobe Awuzie in the secondary. Cam Taylor-Britt had a great game against the Titans, right? Like, so depth has been questioned and they've answered it. Can they continue to get a pass rush with Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson and guys like that? That's been mostly answered. Can Zach Taylor coach his way? Like, Zach Taylor, you know, I think for many people's money was kind of coattailing that Super Bowl trip, and I think he's been better than expected this year, and I think a lot of people doubted him going into the season. And then, you know, it's Burrow. You know, they've been one of the most efficient offenses since their 0-2 start. The offensive line has been really good if you look at the last 9 games as opposed to the full 11. I think the big one is that T. Higgins, you know, and I, you know, earmuffs to Chiefs fans who wanted him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but like T. Higgins is a legitimate superstar wide receiver. And we got to see that in the playoff game in Arrowhead, but he's continued it. And without Jamar Chase, you know, this Bengals team hasn't really skipped a beat. I mean, they haven't been as efficient, but they're winning football games with, you know, Tyler Boyd, him, you know, and some other lesser known guys, Trent Taylor, for example. And that, you know, so a lot of stuff went right for the Bengals last year. So I think everybody's like, okay, but in most situations, things go a little wrong. How does Joe Burrow and company fare with those things? And for the most part this season, they've answered the bell.
All right, let me offer this up. Can the Chiefs get to where they were in the games last year? And that is getting to a 21-7 lead in the regular season game, right? Yeah, that's the regular season game. They're up 21-7 in that one, up 28-14 in the second half before, or in the second quarter before giving up a field goal to make it 28-17. So squandered a lead, right? That's what they did. AFC Championship game, even more infamous, up 21-3, 21-10 just before the half. Don't go in, don't make it 28-10, don't go on to win. They end up squandering that lead in the second half. Is everything we've seen the Chiefs do, this commitment to pounding the ball with the run game, is that a direct reflection of, in one, signing Ronald Jones, who can be more of a pounder, and we finally saw him get on the field. We can talk about that in a minute. But the drafting of Isaiah Pacheco was, they wanted to be able to be more efficient at running the ball and not have the kind of blown leads that they had against both those teams. Does that make them a tougher team for the Bengals to defend?
Maybe. It's a good question. The answer is probably yes. And they're, you know, the fact is with a lot of those two, like, it's more fundamental to get ahead in those games than it is to blow those leads, right? Like, I think there's a lot of noise. There's the interception by BJ Hill in the playoff game. There's the, you know, the fact that the Bengals kicker didn't miss a kick the whole basically second half of the season last year, including against the Chiefs. And like, I hope the Chiefs aren't like overfitting to those two games, right? Trying to pound the rock and win games that way, because, you know, we saw it on Sunday, like Pacheco wasn't that effective after like the first half of the game, right? And when teams know the Chiefs are going to run, they're not a terribly good run team. It's got to be a secondary thing. But yeah, I mean, they're certainly doing that. I would say for my money though, the big move towards winning games like the Bengals games is going out and drafting, you know, Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, Brian Cook, you know, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, and you know, getting guys like, you know, Justin Reed in place, you know, bringing back Thornhill, and you know, I think the biggest one, and this is part of the reason, if you go back and look at the both games, especially the one in Cincinnati, Chris Jones and Frank Clark got sacks in that game that pushed the Bengals back. And like, basically, you know, usually the proverb is if the Chiefs can get a stop or two a half, they're going to win, right? And last year, the Chiefs were able to do so in the first half of that game with sacks and stuff like that, and they were unable to in the second half. And I think that, you know, when you think about the Chiefs defense now, they have more sacks now than they did last year. That to me,
by the way, more sacks now than they had last year, all year,
the whole season. Right. So like I think that's really the one where Burrow's a fantastic quarterback. Last year, he led the league in yards per attempt and completion percentage. That's a really hard thing to do. That was like Kurt Warner, 2000 Rams type of, you know, stat line. But where he kills you is the sacks, and the sacks have been relatively stable independent of who the linemen have been, right? You know, it's a quarterback stat to a certain extent. And so can the Chiefs make him pay for those negative plays? And I think this year with Frank Clark playing, frankly, his best football as a Chief, Dunlap, you know, offering a lot, and you know, George Karloftis is second among rookies in pressures. And you add that to Chris Jones having his best season as a pro. Like, I think that they're able to, you know, kill a drive or two that last season they had difficulty doing.
Yeah. The Bengals defense is like 13 or 14 everywhere. They're remarkably consistently mediocre. Why won't the Chiefs go up and down the field on? They're 13 or 14 against the pass, 13 or 14 against the run, 13 or 14 overall, 13 or 14 in points allowed. Why won't the Chiefs go up and down the field on that defense?
I would say it just has to be a lack of mistakes, right? Like, you know, so, you know, I thought for example, like Valdez Scantling had a good game Sunday, but where do you want that ball in the red zone? Like, it's like right at your face, you know, like, and you just can't have like, And you watch the playoff game, right? The playoff game is a perfect, you know, discussion of what Lou Amarino wants to do with that defense. He wants to rush three. We have a spy robber type of player like that Sam Hubbard was on that third down in at the end of regulation, and make the Chiefs go up and down the field. Now, in the second half of the playoff game, the Chiefs messed around, right? They dropped passes. They didn't run the football against that soft front, and so on and so forth. And then you saw a little glimmer of it when they were down three at the end of regulation. They needed a touchdown, or they needed a field goal to tie and a touchdown to win. They went to Kelce, running back, Kelce. And that got them a win. I think Andy sort of during the middle of a game is way too bashful and being against those kind of like soft defenses and saying, well, it's not fair for me to throw it to Travis five times on this drive. But like, it is like, you got to do that. And the Bengals defense forces teams to be patient and forces teams to not make mistakes. And frankly, the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL at avoiding those things, right? Last year, they led the league in yards per drive, the fewest drives in football. And that was the genesis for making the Tyreek Hill change, because now they got guys like Juju and Sky Moore and Travis Kelce, and frankly, Noah Gray and Joey Fortson, who are all guys who can make the 5-yard catch. And they just have to, against this defense, not make the errors, the drops, the interceptions, and that kind of thing that they've mostly avoided this year, but at times have creeped up.
Yeah, I think you look at it mathematically, offensively, the Chiefs rank higher in every statistic except time of possession, which you say is kind of an irrelevant stat, right? Like, it's or certainly overrated. In the mix. Defensively, they're comparable. They're within a couple of spots, seemingly almost across the board, except for net passing yards per game. The Bengals tied for 14th, the Chiefs 21st in that. Why is this game? Why is the spread so close? Is it just the kryptonite that the Bengals bring to the equation, that they're just a tough matchup for the Chiefs? Think about that. Let's do that. I want to get behind. Let's take a break. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, the data scientist, the premier sports analytics expert in their football analytics expert in the country, is with us. You hear him every week only right here on the program. We take a break. More with Eager next.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. How many teams have had a walk-off overtime touchdown in consecutive weeks? The answer, three. The Raiders this year, the 2017 Packers, and the 2001 Chicago Bears. Both Bears TDs came on pick sixes by Mike Brown.
How about that? Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, what we are playing for. Get that great Cajun food today, whether it's out at the Legends by the racetrack or the original at 39th and State Line. It's Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Great Cajun food at Jazz. You get it, plus great live music. They cater as well. Jazz, best Cajun food in town. Get you some etouffee, maybe some chicken a la mer. The food is fantastic. The service is great. Locally owned and operated, it's Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. How about that? The 17 Packers, the 0-1 Bears, and Mike Brown, big time. For the Bears, always a big fan of the Chicago Bears when they're playing good defense. But you thought maybe the 85 Bears, or we were talking during the break, Eric, you thought what, the 95 or 97 Chiefs, maybe? No, 17 Packers, 0-1 Bears, kind of fitting,
And the 17 Packers didn't even have a winning season. That was the Aaron Rodgers clavicle year. I think, by the way, one of those wins was a Brett Hundley start against the eventual 0-16 Cleveland Browns. That was the one week where I think every sports bettor, every quote sharp bettor had Cleveland, like every week there's quote value on Cleveland. And I want to say that the Packers were laying three on the road with Brett Hundley. Game goes to overtime and the Packers score a touchdown, cover that number. And people were a lot poorer after that game.
Yeah, fantastic. I love it. Nice memory. Anyway, great Cajun food from Jazz. We're talking to Eric Eager, the Vice President of Research and Development at Sumer Sports. He's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You can walk right in right there, 435 and all, sprains, strains. I got a question. Got a weekend warrior injury, maybe a young athlete. You don't need an appointment. You can walk right in right now at the University of Kansas Health System. They're open tonight till 7, weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday mornings, extended hours now, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go see them today. Eric, we mentioned, what were we talking about? I forgot. What are we going to get into?
So the Bengals are.
Yeah. Why so close when statistically speaking, the Chiefs across the board are kind of comparable, just slightly off the numbers of the Bengals, yet offensively better in every category. Why is this line so close?
I think it's just a matchup driven thing, right? Like the Chiefs, I mean, where have they struggled in the past? They've struggled with teams like the Chargers. Now they win these games, right? Which is a notion to express here. But when teams can come at them with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, they struggle defensively a little bit, right? When teams can come at them, I'm trying to think of like the other places where they've had difficulties. You know, it's been when great wide receiver play and also just like guys who can beat. What Spagnuolo wants to do, right? Like we saw it in the Chargers game right at the end of regulation, like they had 3rd and 17 and Spags ran single high and put poor Joshua Williams one-on-one with Keenan Allen. And, you know, we saw it last year too. Like I want to say at the end of it was a tie game, right? In Cincinnati, the Bengals are like 3rd and forever from like the 39, like edge of field goal range. And instead of just like playing the short pass and conceding a field goal and getting Patrick Mahomes back on the field, they ran press man and, you know, they threw the fade to Ja'Marr Chase over Tre'Davious Ward. And I don't like Spags, you know, make a play on the Bengals here. I don't think Spags is going to change his stripes. Right. And so I think that there's a little bit of a matchups, a styles makes fight thing here. I think when you just power rate the teams, I don't think that so if you make home field advantage 2 points, like I think the Chiefs are 3.5 points better or more than the Bengals. I just think it's more about matchups. And so can the Chiefs adjust to that? Do they go out and just play their game and hope, for example, like one of those alley-oop passes to Chase is incomplete this year, as opposed to all of them being complete, that I think is what bettors are betting against.
Do you like the mindset of where the Kansas City Chiefs are now? I mean, do you think that this is a team that looks confident, or do you think the struggles on special teams are something that could have them looking over their shoulders?
I want to say that they're just trying things out, and you know, in games like the Rams game and stuff like that, and like the Colts game where they're big favorites on the road, and you know, they lost that game in large part because of special teams errors. But I think in a game like the Rams, they believe that they could win even with those errors. I get worried though. I mean, look, like, and there it might be a reason why they're bringing so many veterans onto the practice squad, although they're not like special teamish type of players. But like, there's just, you know, Dave, it's a combination of Dave Tobe trying to be important when you have a great quarterback, your special team should be a rounding error to everything. And them not having some of the core special teams guys that they've had before, you know, and I do get concerned. I think that, you know, for example, like, I don't think the Chiefs should do anything but fair catch a punt the rest of the season. Like, I just don't understand what they're doing. You know, they shouldn't take a kickoff out of the end zone the rest of the year. And they, you know, and you know, you can't sort of control the field goal game. You kick field goals most of the time when the numbers tell you to, but like, it does concern me because, like, I think most Chiefs fans look at this and they're like, look, the Chiefs are favored in basically every game. If you just do the expected thing, they should win every game. And, you know, all special teams does can add variance, and there's not a ton of positive variance that it can add to a Patrick Mahomes team. There's a ton of negative variance, though.
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes looks as confident as possible, although I do worry. I'll get to the defensive side of things, but I do worry that he is maybe hell-bent on proving that I don't need Tyreek Hill. And, like, the no-look pass interception is him trying to pile up the numbers to prove, you know, that, hey, this offense is fine without him. He's fine without him, because he could have run that in, right? Like, it sure looks like he could have run that right in. And so I guess my only concern would be, is Patrick Mahomes trying to do more than just win games? Is he trying to make a point? And does Andy Reid, you know, we talked about this on the Red Golden Bowl podcast, you know, does Andy Reid not willing to just take an ugly win the way Bill Belichick will, that he wants to do it with style points? Is that why he keeps his foot on the pedal with special teams wise? Like, the goal is to win the game. The goal is to win the Super Bowl, right? Like, that's where their focus needs to be. And sometimes I kind of, you know, I think it's fair to question whether or not that's Andy Reid's focus with his, you know, I think when he puts plays on the shelf, when people are like, you know, finish your team off, and you see him just pounding Isaiah Pacheco, okay, well, the Rams were pretty much finished off. Nobody has that problem there, but there are other games. But I think he actually, you know, maybe with the special teams, he's doing the exact opposite. Instead of just, you know, letting your strengths win, he's trying to create a strength that just isn't there with 11 rookies on the roster.
And it doesn't need to be there. Like, I think that, you know, we all experienced Alex Smith, and, you know, I was a big fan of Alex Smith. I thought he brought the water level for this team up to a respectable level for 5 years, but they needed the special teams to be special to win football games at the clip that they did with Alex Smith. They don't need that with Patrick Mahomes. And I think, like, it is, you know, both coordinators are different than back then. But the one constant has been Dave Tobe. And I think Dave, you know, there's an aspect of, like, the company is moving in a different direction, and he's constantly trying to maintain his relevance. And, you know, I can understand that, but it hurts the Chiefs, I think. And, you know, I'll say this. I think, you know, we saw in the Chargers game, a Chiefs team that did what it took to win a game, and a big game, a game to basically clinch the division against a rival. The following week, they messed around a lot to struggle against a team that is going nowhere. I would say that in a game like this against the Bengals, we're going to see a lot more of the Chargers type of strategy than we're going to see the Rams strategy. So, and I think the same thing's true about Mahomes as well. Like, we saw, you know, in the Sunday night game against the Titans, where they categorically did not play well. When they were down 8 at the end of the game, Patrick ran for a 3rd and 17. He ran for the touchdown. He ran for the 2-point conversion. He did what was necessary to win that football game. And so I'm going to give him a little bit of slack, in a Rams game against a team going nowhere, him messing around and trying to do trick shots and stuff like that, and making some mistakes. So I agree with you. It's a little concerning, but I would say this team knows when they need to win a football game. And I think this week they know. I mean, you can't, like, And they may very well may lose to the Bengals, right? It's a 55-45 proposition at this point. But I think in their minds, like, you can't go into the playoffs having gone 0-3 against the Bengals in the last three games and have that be something that you're confident with.
And we, you know, Curtis always does such a great job of putting together his playoff thing. The Chiefs can go a long way towards ending the Bengals playoffs right here. And they've got a very difficult run to try to get there. So I do think that's one of the things that's, you know, for the Chiefs should be an incentive, not just the revenge, the fact that you can go a long way towards making sure these guys can't see anybody in the postseason. And by getting the win here against the Bengals right here would help them out. Let's stay on pace here. I want to take another break. I want to get into the defensive side of things. If the Chiefs defense is actually very underrated when it comes to the national side, and maybe even some of the grades that have been handed out by Eric's former employer, Pro Football Focus, Eric Giger from Sumer Sports is with us. We will take a break. We'll talk about that Chiefs defense when we come back. Eric Giger brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System. Their incredible performance center is a great place if you just want to get better at a sport. If you got a child that wants to get better at a sport, they're located right there at 125th and Antioch in Overland Park, kansashealthsystem.com/sports-performance. And for the holidays, new clients save 25% on the sports performance classes, personal training, running gait analysis, metabolic performance assessments, all kinds of great golf instruction, the Titleist Performance Institute golf fitness evaluations, and golf performance training. Just get your golf game better. Hey, can't get out on the links when it's as cold as it is today, but you can certainly make that golf game better in a beautiful facility. It's the Sports Performance Center there with the University of Kansas Health System. Find them online at kansashealthsystem.com/sports-performance.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. We're talking to Eric Giger, the data scientist, the VP of R&D for Sumer Sports is with us, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. There's sports performance holiday sale going on. New clients save 25% on classes. Check it out right now, whether it's your running gait, your personal training, your sports performance. 9,000 square foot state-of-the-art weight room, indoor and outdoor turf fields. Like if you got a young football player and you want to help them train better, they even have like the cameras and the explosion measurements of like your bench press. Like, okay, how fast is your explosion going down? How can we get that better? It is the highest level of sports performance, as little as you want or as much as you want. Check it out. Get more details and enjoy that 25% off right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sports-performance. Eric, is the defense underrated when you've got the number one interior player in the NFL and Chris Jones just wreaking havoc there? You know, Colin Saunders, I think, has injected some life into him. This is, they've got Michael Dana back. They seem to have maybe not, they're not great. There's no great grades on the edge, but they seem to have depth of at least quality on the edge. The secondary's got two of the top 15 corners now that Trent McDuffie's qualified. He's 15th in the rankings, with Jarius Sneed is second. The linebackers, Nick Bolton, I'm happy to see, is at 9, because I remember some people trying to take shots at him earlier this year, which I just didn't get. But Darius Harris is 25. Willie Gay's 40. My eye test says Willie Gay's better than the 40th best linebacker in football. I think that linebacking core is a tremendous strength for the Chiefs. Is this team ascending and going to pad the stats and get a lot more hype at the end of the year with the schedule that's in front of them after this game against the Bengals?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, yeah, the PFF linebacker grades, you know, I don't know if I'm talking out of turn, but like, the run defense grades are great. Like, if you look at stability and stuff, like if a guy's good against the run at PFF, like, generally speaking, he's good against the run. If you look at year-to-year stability, I always think of coverage grades for linebackers are incredibly dependent on results, which is kind of against what PFF wants, right? Like, they chart pressures, and pressures matter almost as much as sacks, right? Because pressures predict sacks. In coverage, the hard part is that, like, the reason Bolton's grade has gone up so much is he has two interceptions in the last 2 weeks, right? And so they're a little bit too dependent, in my estimation, on the result and not the process. Like, I don't think Nick Bolton's become all that much better the last couple weeks, but a few balls got into his hands, and now he's, you know, grading really well. I think with Willie Gay, you remember that Bucs defense that killed the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Like, they always graded Devin White poorly. And I always thought Devin White was like the fall guy, right? A good defense is going to funnel plays to one player. And the best defense is funnel plays to the linebackers, because throws to running backs and tight ends, well, throws to underneath the coverage are always weaker than throws deep, right? So Willie and that kind of linebacker like Willie Gay is going to miss some tackles. He's going to give up catches and yards, because you'd rather give up catches and yards to the linebacker position than you would to the corners and safeties that are more impactful. So whenever, like, and if folks have a PFF subscription, you could look at every single good defense. There's one player who grades poorly, and it's because, like, the team funnels, I call him the fall guy. Teams funnel plays to the fall guy, and you want that fall guy to be a Willie Gay type person. That doesn't mean he's bad. It just means that, you know, when everything's covered up, the team has to pick on Willie Gay, and that puts him in some positions to be poorly graded. I don't think that means he's a poor player. And again, to me, that's a little bit of a flaw in the grading system there, that doesn't account for the fact that somebody's got, you know, it's like in basketball, it's like somebody's got to score the points for the Charlotte Hornets, right? Like, somebody's got to make the tackles for the Chiefs defense. And you know, with any defensive metric, the guy making a tackle is oftentimes doing, you know, in a bad position, because, you know, that's why the team's targeting them, and that's why they get a bad grade.
Yeah, I like that point. It's kind of like point guards in basketball. I always talk about their shooting percentage, that you can probably add, you know, a couple of ticks up on their shooting percentage, because what happens when you run through a set and nothing's there? Now the point guard's holding the ball and there's 8 seconds on the clock. He's going to put it on the deck a couple of times and he's going to pull up. It's not the best shot, but if he's good, if he's, you know, Steph Curry, or take your pick, you know, you'd rather have that than trying to lob in a quick hurried shot from some big guy in the middle. So the point guard ends up taking more shots that maybe he doesn't really want to take, but better to get a shot up than just watch the shot clock expire. It's kind of like Willie Gay. Okay. Yeah. They come around. Like, if the corners are doing a great job covering everything, they're going to check down and they're going to come towards Willie Gay's guy. So, and then he's going to get dinged because, well, you know, he caught the ball on an open guy. I like that explanation. And I've thought Nick Bolton's coverage has been better. You know, this idea when he came from Missouri is supposed to be like, he's a two down linebacker, he can't cover. Well, they kept Anthony Hitchens on the field, and Nick Bolton is immensely better at covering. And I also, the knock on him for a while, and some of the film guys were like, well, you know, he doesn't get off blocks, and nobody does. Right. The key is to keep guys off him. That's one of the reasons why you see Brandon Williams signed for this team, is Derek Nottie's getting freight trained. And, you know, maybe he won't get in there. Maybe he will. You know, I think we've both been a little maybe surprised that Danny Shelton hasn't, you know, had a spot in there. But the goal is not for Nick Bolton to have to blow up a guard and then make a tackle. Willie Gay, same thing. The goal is for them to be untouched and run cleanly and blow people up because the lineman can't get to them. That's what, and to me, he's been absolutely fantastic. I don't know that 9 accurately, you know, addresses how good I think Nick Bolton's been.
Yeah, and I got into a little bit of a thing on Twitter about Tyrann Mathieu. People are like, oh, Tyrann Mathieu was only, his highest PFF grade was X. And I'm like, guys, like, I've seen the system before. I know where the flaws are. Like, Tyrann Mathieu, it's your basketball analogy, right? Like, a Kyle Korver in the corner shooting threes all game off of passes is going to shoot a higher percentage than Chris Paul, who has to shoot the mid-range shot at the end of the shot clock. Like, right. there are volume and efficiency issues, right? Like, Rashad Fenton is going to have a better grade covering one side of the field, and there's a little bit of football knowledge there as well. Like, when the Patriots, the reason JC Jackson graded so well was because Stephon Gilmore took a larger, you know, you could look at the tracking metrics. He took a larger area of the field, right? So, you know, Belichick made it so that when teams threw to JC Jackson, they were throwing to tighter quarters. And when they threw to Stephon Gilmore, they were throwing to bigger quarters, but Gilmore could handle it, right? And it's the same thing's true in a lot of these things where, if you ask more of a player, he's probably going to make more mistakes. But again, and this is what the system doesn't really account for in a lot of cases, especially in coverage. The more you ask of a player, the more mistakes he's going to make. But the whole fact that they ask him to do those things has signal into how good he is, right? It's the same thing. Like, Ryan Tannehill does really well with what the Titans ask him to do. The fact that they don't ask him to do Patrick Mahomes stuff is an important part of the conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Eric Eager, data scientist from Sumer Sports. Time for our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You can give the gift of health, better health, and better performance on the field. New clients save 25% at the Sports Performance Holiday Sale at the University of Kansas. They're located right there at 125th and Antioch. Beautiful 9,000 square foot facility that has everything to test and improve your ability to play a sport or just get better. Just get physically better. You can give that gift right now. Go to kansashealthsystem.com/sportsperformance for more details on that. 25% off right now. Great deal. Take advantage of it. Eric, let's start you with this. Have you started listening to the Christmas music yet?
No.
No? Okay. Just curious. My youngest daughter and my wife were ready on about like Wednesday before Thanksgiving. My oldest daughter was adamant that it could not be played until after Thanksgiving, which was eventually decided on Thanksgiving Day, was after the Thanksgiving pie. So after that, the Christmas music went on at our house.
I think she and I are kindred spirits. I think the Christmas creep is a little bit too strong this time of year.
All right. So are there lights up at the Eager house?
No.
Okay, I'm noticing a trend here. Have you seen Wakanda Forever?
No, is it good?
It's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of if you're a fan of the series, you'll certainly like it. But it's also it just kind of intermingles with the Chadwick Boseman passing. That it's almost like it's a movie, but it's also a tribute to an individual. And everything. It was very good. I would highly recommend it. My daughters and I saw it. It was very good. Finally, give me your prediction on the Chiefs and Bengals. Who wins? What's the score?
Chiefs 27-20.
27-20. A lot of confidence there?
No, but I think this time is the charm.
Yeah, I think third time is the charm, and I think Patrick Mahomes comes with a mission on his mind. We always have a mission with you. That's inform the masses about these Kansas City Chiefs. You've done it again. Eric, you're the man. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll talk again next week.
You're the best, Petro. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, Alabama has now won at least 10 games, 15 years in a row, a new NCAA record. Who are they tied with? Brought to you by Good Sense.